Mike Connie, who joins us now to talk about last night and that big win, a huge win for the Five Stripes against Orlando City. Morning to you, Mike.
Hey, John, what's up?
Well, that was something last night. It was a tremendous performance. I got to tell you, for all the road wins, that was as gritty and tough as I've seen them play this year.
I agree. I thought it was the best first half they've played home or road this year. You know, we were a little bit worried. Three matches in 8 days. Orlando City a lot fresher. Would that manifest in the match? And it didn't. I mean, Atlanta United was running circles around the Lions in the first half. But I can't really overstate how hostile an atmosphere that is. And Jason and I, you know, having the chance now to do these matches on the road, we've been to a few stadiums this year. I mean, this was by far the loudest, most hostile environment that we've seen. I can't even think of anything remotely comparable that we've seen so far in MLS. So for Atlanta United to go in there and get 3 points, and I think even the scoreline 2-1 was a little misleading. I felt like Atlanta United really dominated this match, could have won by 3 or 4 goals. Just a great, great result. Now they get a well-earned day or two off before moving on to the Red Bulls on Sunday.
You know, Mike Conte, watching on television, was I mistaken in hearing that the Atlanta United fans were out there cheering like the whole game? Was that what I was hearing on my TV?
Yeah, in fact, Hugh, if you listen to our full-time report, and I think it's been posted on iTunes and a couple of our digital platforms, it was really funny. The Atlanta United supporters, and there were several hundred of them, stayed after the match, chanted and sang and danced as all the Orlando City fans were leaving, probably well into a half hour after the match ended before they were finally escorted out by security. But yeah, it was really cool to see the turnout. I think it was brave for anyone to go in there wearing a five-stripe kit. I was telling Bo off the air, Hugh, if walking out of there last night felt like walking out of a Superdome. The first thing you want to do is just take an Advil because it's so loud and so hostile in there. But for the 17s that made the trip down to support Atlanta United, hats off to them, because that is not a fun place to catch a match if you're a fan of the visiting team.
You know, and speaking of that, Mike, you were talking about how Atlanta United ran circles around Orlando. It looked a little chippy out there on the pitch yesterday. Did you notice the same thing? Yeah.
You know, Hugh, I think the players and the coaches have tried to downplay this as being a rivalry as best they can. It's something that's just kind of fun for the fans. And, yeah, I mean, there's a kind of geographic element to it, but really it's not a rivalry. It's just another match. I think we can kind of throw that into the garbage right now. It's clearly a rivalry. And we had a near melee breakout around the 80th minute. A lot of players going chest-to-chest, few shoves. I thought Alan Kelly, the referee, did a pretty good job of defusing that with the help of his assistant referees. I know Orlando probably felt like Atlanta United felt on Wednesday, where you had all the major calls of the match go against you, and that's tough. But I think if you look back at the major calls of the match, Alan Kelly got them all right. And what prompted the ugly incident right at the end, where fans decided to litter the pitch with projectiles, which is a really, really ugly scene, frankly, an Orlando City player took a dive trying to generate a free kick, and the referee was right on top of it and didn't take the bait. So, you know, a lot of passion, a lot of anger on both sides last night. The fun thing is, Hugh, these teams are going to play twice more this year, and I think the fuse has been lit. This is going to be a very fun 3-game series this year.
Hold up, Mike Conte. So you think there's going to probably try to be some get back when they come back up here?
Well, you know, I don't know about when they come back up here, because as great as the atmosphere is down here in Orlando, when you come back up to the Benz, and that'll be a 72,000 game, that's going to be awfully tough for the road team. But, you know, Atlanta United will come back here to Orlando on August the 24th. And, you know, weather conditions will probably be a factor. It'll probably be very, very hot and humid. Mm-hmm. The fans are all worked up into a lather after what happened last night. So I would expect Atlanta United to be facing a very, very tough order, very tall order when they come back here in August.
Mike Conte joining us, play-by-play voice of Atlanta United, fresh off that 2-1 win over Orlando City. And in the Five Stripes head back home, they have off for a full week until a showdown at Mercedes-Benz Sunday night against New York Red Bulls. Let's talk a little bit about the team, if we can. You're right. I mean, they're not finishing. Miguel Almiron misses a wide-open goal in the 74th minute. There were other times where they could have connected. It almost seemed at times, you know, in the first half especially, where it's almost like I want the team to be a little bit more selfish. They're almost trying to be, you know, just take the shot, for crying out loud. Don't try to make everybody else look good.
Yeah, Jason said that too. I mean, there were one or two occasions where it's just a little too selfless, maybe one pass too many. It feels like at times that they're going for the spectacular golazo, and they don't necessarily need to do that. But, John, the reality is Atlanta United leads MLS in goals and goal difference. So I would not say this team is failing to convert. You know, you want to win every match by 4 or 5 goals. It's just not easy to do in MLS. And I think you also have to give a little bit of credit to Bendick, their keeper. Orlando City's back line, given the fact that they were without Spector and Sutter, played reasonably well. And I think, you know, the heavy legs may have become a factor a little bit in the second half, but I think Atlanta United's physio staff did an incredible job having this team well-conditioned and ready to play and looking fresh. But, you know, when you go through that rain and humidity in the second half, you're coming to the end of a 3-match and 8-day stretch, the game does tend to slow down a little. So I was not overly alarmed with the lack of chances in the second half, because I think you can attribute a lot of that to just so much work put in over the last week.
Credit to the backups, to Paul Christensen and then Alec Cann, who played very well, I thought, in Brad Guzan's stead, and did a really good job of keeper. And that defense stepped up when it needed to yesterday multiple times.
Yeah, I mean, the back line collectively, they were men of the match. Parkhurst, LGP, and Miles Robinson. I mean, think about LGP now. Here again, another dominant player in MLS that he just completely shut down in Dom Dwyer. I mean, Dwyer was invisible last night. Parkhurst did a great job on Sasha Kljestan, totally invisible last night. And then Cann, I thought that was huge, 5 saves. I mean, if you would have told me that Cann would have to make 5 saves on this match, I would have thought Atlanta United would be in trouble. But he did a great job, too. And quite honestly, it was great that he was able to get fit and be able to play. And what a luxury for Atlanta United, with Guzan suspended, to be able to turn to a keeper who has MLS experience in big matches. That was huge.
Weren't you a little surprised with the way that Paul Christensen played last week? You know, that they went to Cann?
Yeah, a little, Hugh. To be honest, I was really actually more surprised that Christensen wasn't in the 18. He didn't even play last night, and that was after they had signed him to a third emergency hardship waiver, and you only get 4. So when they signed him to a waiver, I thought, well, for sure, Christensen's going to be in the 18, and he wasn't. Mitch Hildebrand was. So that surprised me. But, you know, Hugh, it's one of those things where Christensen is going to get a lot of seasoning with Atlanta United, too. And that'll be very, very good for his development. He did a great job in an emergency situation on Wednesday. But, I mean, there's no doubt that if you have veterans like Cann and Hildebrand available and match fit, you've got to play them. So I don't blame them for that decision at all.
Well, here you got a week off. This team could use the rest, that's for sure. Mike Connie joining us from Florida. And then New York Red Bulls come in. And your next stretch here is going to be a slower stretch. You get a game on Sunday, next Sunday, and then you get 10 days off to the game you play at Gillette Stadium against the New England Revolution. So after this 3-8, now you only have, 70 days, you only have 2 games.
Well, that's true, but remember that some players are going to be called into international duty over Memorial Day weekend. So the team won't necessarily be playing a lot, but some of those players will be playing. And then you go into another FIFA break around the time of the World Cup. So, but U.S. Open Cup will start. So I know you don't see it on the schedule right now, but there are going to be some matches added on to this with U.S. Open Cup. So they're going to play a little bit more than it appears. Red Bulls on Sunday, I think, is a really interesting match, guys, because New York Red Bulls, Atlanta United's never beaten them. They've won 3 in a row, and one of those victories was a 4-0 evisceration of New York City, probably the second-best team in the league right now. So, you know, yes, the schedule lightens up, but it doesn't get easier. It's going to be another tough match on Sunday. And I know after playing 2 matches on the road in the last week, it's going to feel very, very good to be back in Atlanta in front of the 7 teams at the Benz.
Thanks, Mike. Do appreciate a great call on the game, and look forward to having you back.
You're the man, Mike.
All right, guys. Take care.